This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Katie Gillen with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a woman has been arrested by Gardaí investigating the attempted murder of Charles Duher in Lifford at the start of this year. A convicted rapist who previously resided in Donegal and was handed an 11-year sentence last month for harassing three female journalists has been told he will spend an extra 10 months in prison. The Taoiseach says he's dismayed with the effigies of immigrants on boats placed on a bonfire in Tyrone, and the Health Minister and HSE are being urged to address staffing issues at Killybegs Community Hospital, with a local councillor saying he has led to 13 short-term beds being closed at the facility. These stories in full plus more to follow. Oisin Kelly will have the latest sports at around 15:15, and that will be followed by a Nooked with Colm Ferter. But first, a woman has been arrested by Gardaí investigating the attempted murder of Charles Duher in Lifford at the start of this year. Charles and his father were hospitalised in the north following the incident at a house on Coneyborough Road on January 20th. Charles, aged in his 20s, suffered life-threatening injuries, while his father, aged in his 60s, was treated for what were described as less serious injuries. A woman aged in her 50s was arrested last Sunday and questioned at a Garda station in the northwest. She has since been released and a file will be prepared for the DPP. Investigations are ongoing. A convicted rapist who previously resided in Donegal and was handed an 11-year sentence last month for harassing three female journalists has been told he will spend an extra 10 months in prison. 53-year-old Mark McEnough, previously of Letterkenny, was before Dublin Circuit Criminal Court today for breaching the conditions of a suspended sentence. He pleaded guilty last month to harassing three female journalists in August 2023. Donmarie Doherty reports.
Mark McEnough received a sentence of 8 years and 4 months backdated to when he went into custody in 2018 for the aggravated burglary, for which the final 16 months were suspended for 16 years on strict conditions. He was released from custody on the sentence in July 2023, several weeks before the harassment of the three journalists took place. McEnough attended a hearing concerning the activation of the suspended portion of the 2023 sentence due to a breach of the set conditions, this being his conviction for harassment and a separate conviction of the Sex Offenders Act. The court was told that McEnough was homeless following his release from custody, struggled to access medication he'd been on, and that he found it difficult to abide by the conditions imposed. The judge noted the seriousness of the offences following his release, which had already been dealt with by another judge. Judge Nolan reactivated 10 months of the 16-month suspended portion of the 2023 sentence, which will run consecutively to the 11-year sentence McEnough is currently serving.
Gardaí and emergency services have attended the scene of a two-vehicle collision on the N13 at Burt. It's understood that the crash occurred after 12 o'clock this afternoon. No injuries have been reported at this time. The Taoiseach says he's dismayed with the effigies of migrants on boats placed on a bonfire in Tyrone. The PSNI is investigating the incident as a hate crime after the pyre in Moygashel was lit last night. Around 300 bonfires are expected to be lit across the north ahead of the Loyalist 12th of July celebrations. Taoiseach Micheál Martin says bonfires are already a public health and safety hazard.
Yeah, I'm dismayed with effigies, and, you know, particularly on the migration front. It was shocking, and I felt that the Bishop McDowell, I think he made a very strong comment on this, it's un-Christian, devoid of any appreciation of human dignity. My most fundamental observation in terms of these bonfires is the public health and safety. I think from a public health perspective, bonfires doing terrible damage.
Meanwhile, SDLP leader Claire Hannah says the anti-migrant movement in the north is wrongly blaming refugees for wider government failures. She says a small number of people are using the 12th of July as an excuse for hate and confrontation.
It is people blaming all of the problems in their lives or public service failings on migrants. It's just a story, you know, we're grappling with across the island. But Northern Ireland has always been a symptom of a failure by a small minority to accept difference, and sectarianism has morphed into racism for a number of these communities, particularly in loyalism.
The Health Minister and HSE are being urged to address staffing issues at Killybegs Community Hospital, with a local councillor says have led to 13 short-term beds being closed at the facility. Councillor Jimmy Brogan says he first raised this in March and was told at the time that a number of beds had been closed to facilitate essential infection prevention and control measures. The HSE indicated work was complete and admissions had recommenced. However, he says he's now learned that 13 beds remain unoccupied because more staff are required. Councillor Brogan is calling for more urgency on the matter.
13 short stay beds. As you say, it's people need a respite, but also people who need just a short stay in hospital, or people who may be recuperating from being in Letterkenny or being in a larger hospital and just need an extra little bit of time before they get home. Like, and also, Killybegs Hospital covers a large number of people, you know, from Killybegs and all the way from Glencombe, Kildon, or Drogheda, up to Brooklyn, Nuckinelly, and even sometimes farther afield, you know, if there's no place in Donegal Town Hospital, Community Hospital, because there's a number of beds closed there as well for works. The response I got just said that once approval is given to recruit, the older persons management team will work closely with the human resources to recruit the staff. So it looks from that response that they aren't in a hurry to recruit the staff as yet. They haven't made the decision, or else the money isn't there. I don't know which.
And the reality is, given the geographical location of Killybegs, this is going to have an impact both on Letterkenny University Hospital and on Sligo University Hospital as well, because that region it serves in southwest Donegal would, I presume, encompass patients from both hospitals.
Yeah, well, then the thing is, if the older people aren't having a place to go in Killybegs, then they can't leave Letterkenny or they can't leave Sligo. So that makes the problem in Letterkenny and Sligo a bit more serious. You know, when the people can't leave to recuperate somewhere else.
Are you hopeful that you asking the minister to get involved and approaching the HSC directly would perhaps light a fire under this process and get that recruitment progressed a bit more quickly?
Well, that's the idea. Hopefully, once they know there's a bit of heat on, they'll start this process, move it on a bit quicker, you know, and get the people recruited, you know, so these beds can be open.
The chair of Ogra, Fianna Fáil and Donegal says more should have been done to resolve the situation regarding a group of children travelling from Gaza to Ireland. Passing GAA has denied visas to bring 33 children and 13 mentors to Ireland this month, with a visit to Donegal on the agenda. Speaking on today's 9 till noon show, Ben Harkin also expressed concern that children in need of medical attention and surgery are also being delayed in coming to Ireland, and that it's a situation that needs to be urgently addressed.
I understand when there might be rules in that regarding guardians or whatever coming over, but you'd have thought with this aspect, this group, that the authorities, that the government could have made a more proactive bit of work in saying, you know, in the weeks up to this here point, saying that, you know, this needs to be changed, or maybe you need a different set of guardians, or you need this kind of paperwork. To turn around now a week before it's due to happen, the whole itinerary was planned from the very top of the GAA. Jarlath Burns was to give this whole group a tour of Croke Park and that there, that this here would happen so close to it. I think as well, though, Greg, I want to say, like, this, to have these children over with links to Palestine GAA would have been fantastic. Like, I was watching Primetime last night, and they had a young Palestinian family who were over because one of the children lost a lot of his leg, and they're over seeking medical attention. And the fact that there are so many children in Palestine that need medical attention, they were told they were coming to Ireland, and now aren't coming to Ireland, and the families that have been split up because of this here. And I think that there is something that would need to take a focus as well. Obviously, it'd be great if we could have the children over through Palestine GAA, but the children that need medical attention in Palestine and they can't get over, I think it is something that we've really dropped the ball on and needs to be looked at as well.
Donegal County Council is being urged to carry out a safety audit of Bad Eddy. The ship washed up on Mahara Clocher Beach, Guidoor, in the 1970s. The condition of the structure has deteriorated in the intervening years and it's said to be currently in a dangerous state with rusted nails exposed. Councillor Micheál Colm-McGill-Asbaugh has called for the boat to be fenced off to deter people from climbing on it. He's also asking if now is the time to remove Bad Eddy from the beach.
It's something that I have been saying for a while, and again, I need to be very, very clear. These are questions that I am asking. Where are we going with Bad Eddy? I spend a lot of time on that beach, as many, many other people have and do. I am concerned in terms of health and safety. I see people climbing on it. I especially see young ones climbing on it, especially those who might be visiting our area. And it's a question to the wider community. What do we do with Bad Eddy? I know some people are saying leave it because it brings tourists and tourists spend money in the area, but sometimes things are a wee bit more important than just money. I think that we need to have a good, healthy, open, honest conversation around Bad Eddy, and I do have concerns. So we've seen the council move and fence off other areas that are of danger. The question has to be asked, are we there? Some people have asked, that the boat would stay. Some people have said, look, we just need to let the environment do its job and eventually take it away. And we have seen it deteriorating massively over this very short number of years. But others are also asking for it to be removed. And as a public representative and local councillor, it is my job to look at what's positives and negatives within my community and what's possibly maybe a danger to the wider community.
A junior minister says he believes Catherine Connolly has announced her presidential hopes too early. The independent TD has been backed by the Social Democrats for a run at the Arras. She's also likely to get the support of People Before Profit and a number of independents in the Dáil and Seanad. But Minister Robert Troy says they may be too early out of the traps.
I genuinely question the wisdom for Catherine of coming out so early in this, because the month of August is silly season. It is a vicious campaign. And I think she's going to open herself to a whole pile of scrutiny for the month of August.
It's been a day of high temperatures across the country, with a series of status yellow warnings issued across the weekend. Temperatures approach 30 degrees in places and it could be hotter tomorrow. Meteorologist with Met Erin Linda Hughes is advising people to be mindful of the health risks.
The main reason for these yellow high temperature warnings is just to make people aware that it is going to be very warm or hot, and just take any precautions that they can just to keep themselves safe. We urge people to take care of their skin. There is a higher chance that there'll be some water related incidents as well, so for people to take that in mind as well.
Derry City and Strabane District Council has officially adopted the Local Development Plan 2032. It follows an extensive process involving widespread public and stakeholder engagement. Bernie Jameson reports.
Each council across Northern Ireland was tasked with the delivery of a bespoke development plan for their area, in consultation with the local community and reflecting the vision, objectives, growth strategy and strategic policies for the council area. The LDP comprises all the planning policies for the city and district, as well as making sure there's enough land available for the area's housing, employment and community needs, while protecting important landscape and environmental features. Following the independent examination of the Derry City and Strabane District Council Local Development Plan 2032 Draft Plan Strategy, the Planning Appeals Commission's report and a direction from the Department for Infrastructure was issued on the 17th of December 2024 to adopt the LDP plan strategy with modifications under Section 12(1)(b) of the Planning Act 2011. After the independent examination, the PAC found the draft plan strategy to be sound, subject to the required amendments and modifications. The Council says they consider the PAC report and the DFI direction to be a strong endorsement of the Council's vision and policies in the plan.
The time is 12 minutes past five. We'll be back after the short break. The time is 5:15. Oisín's here with the latest sports news.
Yeah, thanks, Kitty. A very good evening. As, of course, a busy weekend on all fronts right across the sporting world. But here in the Northwest, taking centre stage this weekend is, of course, Finn Harps in the First Division of the League of Ireland this evening. And then tomorrow, the Donegal Senior Ladies are in action looking for survival in the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship. And that's followed by the semi-finals of the All-Ireland Series, where tomorrow evening Tyrone are taking on Kerry. And on Sunday, our feature match is Donegal against Meath at Croke Park. Four counties left as they look for a place in the All-Ireland final. And those four counties have all announced their teams ahead of their games this weekend. And a big bonus for Donegal sees Caelan McGonigal back in the panel for that tie against the Royal County on Sunday. The Muncrana man is fit again, having missed the last four games through injury. Jim McGuinness has named the first 15 as the same starting lineup as the quarter-final win over Monaghan. That match on Sunday, of course, starts at 4 o'clock and it will be fully live here on Highland Radio. I'll be joined by the two Brendans, that's Brendan Devaney and Brendan Kilcoyne, as our commentary team, and it's all brought to you in association with Highland Motors. Meath, meanwhile, have also named an unchanged 15 from the side that lined out against Galway in their victory at the quarter-final stage. Well, an All-Ireland winner with Donegal back in 2012 is Mallon man Declan Walsh, who was a guest on the Score programme last night, which came live from Carndonagh GAA Club. Declan feels Donegal would have learned from lessons from previous games going into this last four encounter.
I think our bad start against Monaghan mightn't be a bad thing now for Jim to use for the team. If they fall behind, I think then a bit of doubt might creep in. It's a big leap going from a group stages or quarterfinals into a semi-final, it's a big jump and the pressure ramps up. So yeah, I think if Donegal get going early with the intensity and the speed and the heat that's going to be on Sunday as well, I think that could be a way to get to kind of, I think, the doubt in the Meath heads.
The hurt of last year losing a semi-final, will that be a factor in this group?
A bit. I think Jim was always one. He was always good at kind of journeys, and the team were on a journey, like, so he would have seen that as part of the journey. And obviously that day, just things didn't happen for the team, but they will have taken lessons from that, and hopefully they can take that into this year's semi-final. And that's probably the biggest advantage I see. Meath won't have that kind of semi-final big day experience that Donegal have got last year, so hopefully that those lessons will help the team make sure they get over the line this week.
That's Declan Walsh, who spoke on the Score programme last night, and that full show is available to watch and listen back to now in the playback section of highlandradio.com. Well, the opening semi-final is, of course, Tyrone against Kerry tomorrow at 5 o'clock at GAA headquarters. Tyrone boss Malachy O'Rourke has also named an unchanged team for this eagerly anticipated last four showdown. Peter Teague and Rory Brennan are fit and will start, with Michael McKernan named among the bench. Kerry manager Jack O'Connor, meanwhile, has opted to keep Paddy Clifford in reserve for the semi-final. The Fossa forward has been named on the bench, with O'Connor making two changes from their quarter-final victory over Armagh. Mike Breen and Michael Burns come into the starting 15, replacing Mark O'Shea and the injured Tom O'Sullivan. We will, of course, have updates from that game with Paddy Hunter tomorrow evening as well. And from 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, we'll also have live regular updates with PJ Lynch from the Big All-Ireland Senior Championship relegation playoff involving Donegal. James Daly's side are playing Leitrim in the playoff in Tubbercurry in County Sligo. The situation here is basically the winner stays in senior football. The loser will be relegated to intermediate next season. Here's Highlands LGFA pundit Maureen O'Donnell.
Yeah, Oisin, it certainly is a big game for Donegal, and they go into tomorrow's game without a one in this year's championship. But Donegal, I feel, are probably the more experienced of the two sides. Then obviously they're going to look to players like captain Roisin Rogers, top scorer, and vice-captain Suzanne White, along with Evelyn McGinley, to make an impact in tomorrow's game. And look, Donegal have been competing in senior championship, Oisin, for the best part of two decades now. I put the prospect of playing intermediate football next year to James Daly in an interview after the Galway defeat in round one of the championship, and he said that it is difficult to get out of intermediate level. We all know that. He maintains that even though they would be capable of going down to intermediate and coming back up again, he would rather, he say, take the lessons of playing a senior level. So I know that this is a big game for Donegal tomorrow. It's a must-win match for them.
And that's Maureen O'Donnell, and that game, of course, starts at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Now, club-wise here in Donegal, there's a number of fixtures taking place tonight in Division 1. The big game is Glenswilly against Termon. Termon, of course, already through to the Division 1 final. That one starts at 8 o'clock. In Division 2, Bundoran play Ardrath and Cloughonaly take on Fanad Gaels. In Division 3, it's Mavull against Robert Emmett. While in the Senior Hurling Championship, McCool's play St Eunan's, Buncrana travel to Satanta, and Carndonagh are going to host Burt. And in the Intermediate Junior, it's Burt against Foremasters, Dunloe against Letterkenny Gaels, and Aroa Ballyshannon are up against St Eunan's. Now, there is a host of games taking place in the final weekend of the All-County Leagues on Saturday evening as well, and there's lots up for grabs. The other spot in Division 2 in the final, that has to be finalised as well, as does the second spot in the final for Division 2, and there's relegation places to be all sorted out as well, so there's still lots to play for with all the other games taking place on Saturday evening. Moving on to soccer, and in the SSE or Trusty League First Division this evening, 7th place Finn Harps will be bidding to extend their unbeaten run to 6 games as they make the trip to Dublin to take on 5th place UCD. Now, ahead of the game, Harps have confirmed the signing of Brazilian goalkeeper Lorenzo Paella. The South American has put pen to paper following a successful trial period in recent weeks. He began his career in his native Brazil. After that, in Europe, he spent some time in Spain before now making the move to North Donegal. Now on to this evening's game. Former Finn Harps captain Gavin Cullen has been given his thoughts this week on what Harps have to do if they are to get a result in the capital against UCD tonight.
Look, they need to take their chances. I would expect UCD to probably dominate the ball. UCD are very good in the ball, and they play the game really well. So I would expect them to dominate possession. I would expect them to probably create the most chances. But look, Harps have had a good run of clean sheets. The young Corey Sheridan's come on and kept clean sheets in, I think, all four of his games, which is an unbelievable start for him. So they'll want that to continue. If they keep a clean sheet and the opportunities that arise, if they take one of them or two of them, they'll have every chance. So at the minute, it's a hard one to call, and I wouldn't go past saying that it could end up a draw this game.
And there will, of course, be live updates this evening from Finn Harps against UCD down in Dublin. Emmett Ryan will be the man on duty reporting from the game, which kicks off at 7:45. Elsewhere in the division tonight, Wexford face Athlone. Bray Wanderers meet Dundalk. Treaty United take on Cove Ramblers. In the Premier Division, Bohemians have the chance to cut the gap to SSE or Trusty League leaders Shamrock Rovers to 8 points. The Gypsies will move up to second if they beat Galway United at Dalymount Park. And overtake Derry City. Derry, of course, plays Sligo in a North West Derby tomorrow, Saturday. The other game tonight, Cork City currently sitting 5 points adrift of Sligo at the bottom of the table. And Gerard Nash will be hoping that they can get their first one of his tenure in their trip to Waterford in the only other tie this evening. And that is it from the sports desk for the moment. We will, of course, be back with Saturday Sport tomorrow afternoon. And indeed, in the interim, we will have updates from Finn Harps against UCD in the League of Ireland. Kitty.
Thanks, Oisín. Agus an nuacht le Colm Fertur.
Sé, mar ma hasa Colm Fertur an tseol in the Príomh Scéalta. Tá tro straitise fiche fias a cuig, fiche trocha, fóras na gilige, fálsíthe, ag an cion agriach teanga. Cártar sias ar an álsehan mar capais cumsíthe, a chorú le céla mar horú ar chúrlehan ar húramí an fóbol agus a tá mar aim ag tosíochtí abra na hagriachta Dan a blianta seo roina a hansig ar lefel stratisia. Lwyd hwyr chichim san incom fforest na gaelige dy chod cahras a cwyg fwy'n gaed le siart mlion a jeg an nuas. Major le rachis caihir le fforest na gaelige an talaf Regina I Cholatain tagan na carihe ar an wadjid capitia in a nioin an medu a ta tagca ar eilif servisi fforest na gaelige agus go bhfuil implachtaí ort a go jibre féin agus ar airneal na gaeilge ar fad huí agus háas mar gealair seo. Dar léithí is í an cheist seo an dúchlán is mó atá roimhe an agriacht. Tá co-ibrú de dhí leis an rialtas chun plán a fad tearma in bhuaníthe muaníthe a aontú gur féidir mór chospairí an tróstratáise a bhaint amach. Dar léithí. Lagan an capaise ma na tosiachtí don tréibse fwy chyre mór cospor, comas, úsaj, stadas agus jarchi agus rialahas agriach túl agus tan capais la fecal in a omlanya ag an sif fórest na gaelig a bonkai I. Ta jaru siartin ya uur agriha ag glor na gael, da cúrchari sa gaeltart san ir húchkert, a gírian ar chaltar sogunya na bolgam cart gaela Don cantar atul a chur foil da ran farchihe. Le rangana agus cardlana eagsula curha foil le ianna specialta I lahart ag frastal ur cúrchari agus bolgam an tanyamata an chonulshin idjara agus raktalare idjara an artu la jeg agus a fihidu la den visha in non liha. Togtar karu da amahori fasta, claru lahai na komortis arachtas na geliga, a raktal har imliana imel first, ag jarumi yaru fohar, agus tus mina sauna. Agus ta cardlan alinya on trinona amara, ag gelskol aunan, agriha ag lienra lecha canon, agus ga olas afwi na hamakti go leir an lienra, foil, lina, ag lienra LC bonkai I. Shimbahodcha eligolier, slan, agus banak.
And now for the weather, sunny and very warm. High temperatures of 25 to 28 degrees. Lots of evening sunshine and dry weather throughout tonight. A warm night in store with low temperatures of 13 to 17 degrees. To conclude this evening's bulletin, a woman has been arrested by Gardaí investigating the attempted murder of Charles Duher in Lifford at the start of this year. Charles and his father were hospitalised in the north following the incident at a house on Coneyborough Road on January 20th. A convicted rapist who previously resided in Donegal and was handed an 11-year sentence last month for harassing three female journalists has been told he will spend an extra 10 months in prison. 53-year-old Mark McEnough, previously of Letterkenny, was before Dublin Circuit Criminal Court today for breaching the conditions of a suspended sentence. The Taoiseach says he's dismayed with the effigies of migrants on boats placed on a bonfire in Tyrone. The PSNI is investigating the incident as a hate crime after the pyre in Moygashel was lit last night. And the Health Minister and HSE are being urged to address staffing issues at Killybegs Community Hospital, which a local councillor says have led to 13 short-term beds being closed at the facility. Councillor Jimmy Brogan says he first raised this in March and was told at the time that a number of beds had been closed to facilitate essential infection prevention and control measures. That's all from the newsroom for now. We'll be back with the headlines at 6 o'clock. The obituary notices for this Friday evening, July 11th. The death has taken place of Brendan McHugh, late of Rathfarnham, Dublin and Loch Doon, Port New, County Donegal. His remains will repose at his residence in Rathfarnham tomorrow evening from 5 o'clock. Reposing at Shovlin's funeral home, Sandfield, Ardra, County Donegal, on Sunday evening from 6 o'clock until 8 o'clock. Funeral from there on Monday morning, travelling via Loch Doon to St Connell's Church, Kilclooney, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please, donations in lieu, if desired, to Our Lady's Hospice. The death has taken place of Helen McIntyre, Crora House, Drumaweir, Greencastle, and formerly of Church Road, Bundoran, reposing at the family home. Funeral from there on Sunday at 1:30 for 2 o'clock funeral service in Moville Presbyterian Church, followed by burial in Greencastle Church of Ireland graveyard. Family time from 10 p.m. until 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please, donations in lieu, if desired, to Cancer Care West, care of any family member, or Eamon McLaughlin, funeral director. The death has taken place of Neil Crumlish, Mossy Glen, Leckamy, reposing at his sister Nuala's home at Three Trees, Quigley's Point. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock funeral mass in St Columba's Church, Ballinacrae, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on Eamon McLaughlin, funeral director's Facebook page. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock tonight. Family flowers only, please, donations in lieu, if desired, to Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member, or Eamon McLaughlin, funeral director. And the death has occurred of Cahill Charles Patton, Ballybough Convoy, reposing at his late residence with rosary at 9 o'clock. Leaving his late residence tomorrow morning at 10:30, going to St Mary's Church Convoy for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, followed by burial in St Mary's Old Cemetery Convoy. Mass may be viewed online via Kelly's funeral director's Facebook page. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Oncology Day Unit, care of any family member, or Kelly's funeral directors. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.